Get your Bible out. Turn to Proverbs chapter 12, if you would. Proverbs chapter number 12. When you get to Proverbs 12, I want you to find verse number 13. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 13. And why don't you stand with me real quick? We're going to read here just a bit. The Bible says in Proverbs 12, verse 13, "The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. Man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame." Look back at verse 13 again. It says, "The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just man shall come out of trouble." I'd like to talk to us tonight about how you get yourself out of trouble. And let's pray. Father, tonight I want to teach a very simple thought process. The devil, he has a way of helping us to get ourselves into trouble. Thank you that you have a way of helping us to get out of trouble. Now bless tonight. Oh, may the simplicity of the lesson not cause us to think it's unimportant. Please, Holy Spirit, control what's said, control what's heard, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. Now, let me tell you, I don't know of anybody that's in trouble. You say, "Preacher, are you trying to help bail somebody out tonight?" No, I really do like teaching things when nobody's guilty at the moment. It's so much easier. So I don't know of anybody that's in any type of trouble. I would speculate that there will be some that will make it happen in the near future, because it doesn't take long until somebody gets themselves into trouble. And the lesson tonight, really, it is for all ages. It kind of doesn't matter what part of the Christian life you're in or how old you are. I do think that those of you that are younger, if you're still in high school, maybe even if you're college age, you might want to listen real, real carefully. I think adults that have been around a little while, I think you'll see the practicality. I think you'll see some things that you have learned, maybe by trial and error. But the whole lesson is how to get out of trouble. I got to thinking about the verse, Proverbs 12:13. It talks about the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips. And I got to thinking back when we lived in Indiana, when wintertime would roll around, get awful cold, and you get an awful lot of snow and ice. And in all reality, he's probably not going to appreciate this, but my oldest son was in high school, and they were goofing off near the playground where all the younger kids played, and someone challenged him. It was a cold, icy day, to see if he could touch his tongue to the slide. Well, he took him up on it. And I don't know if you know what happens when you take your tongue when it's icy cold and you touch a piece of metal. What happened is you get stuck to the slide. And there's really not anything you can do about it. You say, "Well, what do you do then?" Our answer was some warm water to melt her down. But I think in his case, his friends who challenged him to see how it would go, he didn't want to wait for help, so he yanked it off. And he pulled taste buds off of his tongue and everything. But really, for a little while, he's stuck. And what do? You can't walk anywhere. You can't get help. You can talk, kind of. But he got himself into trouble, and he was in a jam. Now, the right way out would have been if he would have waited and poured a little warm water on it. Now, the thing was, I asked my daughter, I said, "I'm not really sure which one of you kids did that." And she said, "Well, Dad, a couple of them." You would have thought after one did it, another one wouldn't have tried, but probably the one that did it tested one of my younger sons, and he went for it. And last thing Charlotta said was, she said, "I learned from my dumb older brothers. I never did it." And so, but he got into trouble. and there needed to be a solution to get out. Now, the kind of trouble I'm talking about tonight could be at multiple levels. It could be some of the simplest kinds of trouble that we get into, and it could be even more severe. Let me read some verses to you. There in Proverbs 12:13, the last part of the verse says, "But the just shall come out of trouble." Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runneth into it and is safe." Psalm 34:6 says, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." Job 5:7 says, "Yet man is born unto trouble." The Bible says in Proverbs 11:29, "He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind." It says in Psalm chapter 71, verse number 2, "Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me." Psalm 141, verse number 10 says, "Let the wicked fall into their own nets, whilst that I withal escape." So God uses the word escape multiple times in the Bible. It talks about getting into trouble and escaping trouble and God being our haven when trouble comes our way. There are troubles that we don't bring upon ourselves. But the kind of trouble that I talk about tonight, I think it's when we do wrong, when we step over certain lines, when we sin, when we do things that we should not. Now, I'm going to talk about what I recommend you do, or what I should do if we get into trouble. Some self-inflicted mess. But let me say this first of all. Getting into trouble is easy. Getting into trouble comes natural because of the natural man. You don't have to train your children to get into trouble. They can figure it out all on their own. Getting into trouble does not require instructions. Getting into trouble is a problem for all ages. Some get in and then get out. Some get in and then get in deeper. Some get in, then out, then get in, then get out, then get in, then get out. There are people, I'm sure, right now, you go through, you get in trouble, and then you straighten yourself out. Next thing you know, you're in trouble again. Then you straighten yourself out, and then you're in trouble again. Then you straighten yourself out. Pretty repetitive. Something not right there. You're not learning something. No, it's far easier to get into trouble than to get out of trouble. And that getting in comes natural, no training necessary. Now tonight, I'm going to give you some simple instructions on how to get out of trouble. Now we all get into some trouble. If you really think about it, all the way through the Bible, people were getting into trouble. Peter got himself into trouble. Jonah got himself into trouble. Noah got himself into trouble. Adam and Eve, boy, did they get themselves in trouble. And all of us got into some trouble because of Adam and Eve. David got himself into trouble. And on the list goes. I think getting into trouble is not hard. Sometimes getting out is a little more difficult. There's not going to be a thing complicated about what I'm going to say in the next few minutes. But I'm going to give you some logic. And again, young people, I want you to listen to me very carefully. The devil, he tricks us, and sometimes he doesn't trick us. We walk into it with our eyes wide open, but we get into trouble. And there is a right way to get out of that trouble. And let me show you what I mean. Number one, it's best not to get into trouble. Okay? It's best not to get into trouble. You say, what do you mean by that? Stay clean, stay pure. Stay away from trouble. Remember, it's far easier to stay out of trouble than to get out of trouble. So everybody in this building tonight, it should be our desire not to get into trouble. And I'm talking about sin. I'm talking about even unwise things that we get ourselves into. So number one, it's best to not get in trouble. Number two, let's say you didn't listen to number one. And everybody here has times when they don't listen to number one. Okay, but number two, admit guilt before a human catches you. Admit your guilt before a human catches you. You say, why do you say before a human catches you? Because God already knows. God already knows you're guilty. I tell you what, when I was rearing my children, my kids, they were told this: if you do wrong and you come and confess before you're caught, your punishment or your discipline will be far less. But if you have to be caught, if somebody else tells us, now you're probably looking for an increased penalty. So the whole goal is to get quick confession. And so you all know, that's what God wants in our life too. Quick confession. The quicker you can get and say, God, I'm sorry, I did it, the better off you are. So I said it's best not to get in trouble. Secondly, admit guilt before a human catches you. That's how God expects it. Hey, you're far better off telling on yourself than being told on. And I know you shouldn't end a sentence in a preposition, but it's okay. But listen, I don't. I realize you say, well, I would be tattling on myself. I think you're better off tattling on yourself than having someone else tattle on you. There's an integrity in it. You did wrong, and you're going to be the one to say you did wrong. All right, next, number three, don't try to justify your wrong. Don't try to justify your wrong. Be responsible. Be mature. Folks, we live in a society where it's nobody's fault. Everybody wants to blame somebody for their personal wrong. Hey, when you say, well, everybody else was doing it, that is not a justification for your misbehavior. I said, number three, don't try to justify your wrong. Don't try to justify your sin. If you broke it, take responsibility. If you did it, take responsibility. It's not wise to tell us all the good reasons you sinned. And that's what justification is. What you're trying to do is convince me there are good reasons for doing wrong. And I'm sorry, there's no good reason for doing wrong. Okay? So, I said, better off not getting in trouble. Number two, if you do, admit the guilt so that another human being doesn't tell on you. Thirdly, don't try to justify your wrong. Number four, tell the truth about your wrong. Sometimes people will say, I did wrong, but then they're not honest. They were honest about doing wrong, but they're not honest about the wrong. And I would recommend that you just get it all cleaned up and taken care of all at one time. So tell the truth about your wrong, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help you God. That'd be the best thing you could do. You see, if you don't tell the whole truth and it's found out later, you will be mistrusted even more than your initial infraction created. So, young people, if you tell mom and dad you did wrong, but you lie about the wrong, you're going to have to understand later on, mom and dad are going to trust you even less than they trust you because of the initial wrong, because of the lie that covered up the wrong. I could take you to story after story after story in the Bible that illustrates everything that I'm telling you. I've kind of boiled it down to this. Tell the truth about your wrong. You know, some only tell enough truth to get themselves out of a jam. But I'll tell you something. If you're not honest about your wrong, you're leaving a back door back into the wrong or into more wrong or deception. It's best just to be totally honest. We're to tell the truth. That's just a basic Christian principle. So, it's best not to get in trouble. If you do, admit the guilt before someone else has to find you guilty. Don't try to justify your wrong and tell the truth about your wrong. Number five, don't blame everybody else. Don't blame everybody else. I have a hard time with somebody that gets into trouble and they want to hurt other people. And I'm not saying you have to cover for other people, but what I am telling you is there are people that get into trouble and it's got to be everybody else's fault. Hey, you need to do right for God and do right for yourself. Step up, face your wrong with some dignity, and just face it that you did it. Brothers and sisters want to blame each other. so many people want to blame each other. I think the best thing for me to do is for me to do right personally. And I need to take responsibility for what I did. And it doesn't help you to blame everybody else. There was a comedian many years ago. His name was Flip Wilson. Any of you ever remember Flip Wilson? He used to have a thing that he said when he did his little comedy act. He went around all the time saying, "The devil made me do it." Well, I don't know that the devil makes you do anything. The devil makes something available. You choose to do it. So the devil gets a lot of credit. I think there are times people say, "Well, the devil made me do it." And the devil's he's somewhere else saying, "I wasn't even there. They did that without me. I know they're stupid enough to do it. I didn't need to tempt them." But somehow, again, I go back to, we live in a society where people don't want to take personal responsibility. They don't want to say, "I'm guilty. I did it. I was wrong." So I say point number 5 in how to get out of trouble: don't blame everybody else. Number 6. Take your punishment. I'm going to use this term, take your punishment like a man, or maybe better said, take your punishment like a mature spiritual adult. If you did wrong, and then there is discipline, then take your discipline with dignity as an adult, as a spiritual, mature individual. You don't need to be hateful with people. If you had some discipline come your way, don't be vengeful with people. Don't have a bad attitude about paying your penalty for your wrong. I couldn't tell you how many grown adults I've seen that were irate because they got a ticket for breaking the law. And that stupid police officer gave it to them. He wasn't the one that broke the law. He's the one you hired with your tax dollars to do what he just did. But you see, sometimes we won't take our discipline, our punishment, like a mature, spiritual, if you will, adult, like a grown-up. Let me go on. Number 7, don't get mad at the leaders around you. And see, usually, of course, when wrong's been done, if confession of some sort is being made, there is someone in a position of leadership. Whether it's mom or it's dad or it's your boss or it's a police officer or whatever it is or whoever it is. I don't think when you have done wrong and you're trying to get yourself out of wrong, I don't think it's real wise to get mad at the leadership that is involved in the situation. Now, until you've been the leadership, you wouldn't understand. It's funny to me. Someone can do wrong and get mad at the people that they confess to. I don't understand, but it happens. So, in other words, don't become bitter at others because of your wrongdoing. I want to tell you this, young people especially. You're going to be the adult someday. And you're going to be the mom someday. You're going to be the dad someday. It's not as easy as it looks. And a good mom, a good dad, a good leader are merely representing God. And mom and dad didn't necessarily choose what's right and wrong. God did. We just administer the rules that God gave us. And by the way, if you rear your family that way, there is a power higher than mom and dad. It is God. I am God's representative. In the church, I'm God's representative. To be honest, it'd be wonderful if the police officers would be God's representative and the politicians would be God's representative. And all the rules that we have are God's rules, and it's not man that came up with them, but it's God that came up with them. And if that be the case, then why get mad at me? I didn't write the rule. You say, "I'm mad at my dad. I got punished for sassing my mom." Where the Bible teaches you shouldn't sass your mom. It's not your dad's fault. It's your fault. But somehow, when we do wrong, we want to get angry. We want to blame whoever is the leader, whoever is the authority at that time. Rebellion toward leadership at discipline time is very sinful. It's also dangerous. You say dangerous because of what the leader might do, dangerous because of what God might do. Anarchy is punishable in a severe way by God. So I fear for people that do wrong and then are disciplined and become vengeful and hateful toward authority when they did wrong. I fear for them because God says that's not just wrong. He would tell you that is wicked behavior and God may discipline it. So remember, we started with the idea that it's best to just not get in trouble. But since we will step over the line, we need to admit guilt before a human catches us. Next, don't try to justify your wrong. Next, tell the truth about your wrong. Next, don't blame everyone else. Then, take your punishment like a man or like a mature spiritual adult. Then, don't take it out. Don't be angry. Don't hate leaders around you. There had to be a leader for you to have confessed to your wrong, but it's not their fault that you did wrong. Then, number 8, realize you may have forfeited some privileges because of your wrong. Accept that. That's scriptural. We suffer a little loss when we do wrong. Sin has consequences. Wrongdoing costs you something. Doing wrong with a car or driving could cost you driving privileges. Well, let's take society. You go out on the road. If you do wrong, you can eventually lose your driver's license. Okay, now, if you're a young person, and mom and dad have allowed you to get a driver's license, and you mishandle yourself with the car, and you do something you should not, did you know that mom and dad, if they say, we're not going to have the car for the next 2 weeks, do you realize they're merely doing what you need to learn before a police officer takes your license away from you for mishandling your vehicle? You say, well, I don't like it. You're better off letting dad have your driver's license in his back pocket for 2 weeks than to have it taken away from you by a police officer. You're far better off. But remember, if you do wrong, sometimes you forfeit opportunity. You forfeit privileges. Let me explain. If you have a credit card or a checkbook, can I explain that if you mishandle your checkbook and if you write a check and there's not funds to cover it, you could lose some financial privileges in life. So what do? Do you know if you do wrong enough, they can come to the place where you work and take your money away from you before you ever get it? It's called garnishing your wage. They can put you in jail over it. So if you do wrong in certain ways financially, you're going to lose financial opportunity. Why? Because sin has consequences. All the way through the Bible, sin has consequences. You do wrong, there'll be a penalty. Breaking rules can cause you to lose certain liberties, and that doesn't mean you lose the liberty forever, but it means you lose the liberty. Even here at the church, we have some policies that people agree to follow, and there are times when they step outside those policies, and it might be corrected. It might even be that that person will be told, well, your privileged position is going to be retracted for a little while because you broke a given rule. That's not unreasonable, and it's taught from the book of Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation. It's what the Bible teaches. So the lesson is, how to get out of trouble. might think there are right ways to get yourself out of trouble, to keep yourself out of trouble. There are attitudes that are right attitudes when you've created a mess. So don't get into trouble. Admit the guilt. Don't justify the wrong. Tell the truth. Don't blame everybody else. Take your punishment like an adult. Don't get mad at the authorities that represent right. Realize you've forfeited some privileges. Next. Realize you might have to rebuild people's trust in you. Realize that now that you've done wrong, you might have to rebuild human trust in you. You see, your wrong may have damaged your reputation. Now, everybody here, your reputation is very valuable. May I say, young people, if mom and dad have a good reputation, don't you damage it. You have their name. You have their last name. Husbands, don't ruin your wife's reputation. Wife, don't ruin your husband's reputation. Christian, don't ruin Christ's reputation. Don't ruin the church's reputation. We've got to be careful. Now, when we do wrong, we may cause people to lose a little trust in us. Now, so you all know, our ultimate trust is in Jesus Christ, and we all know that. But we do trust each other. Society functions, the Christian family functions off of a certain amount of trust that we have in each other. And we're all hoping that each other behaves like Jesus, and that gives us a foundation of trust. But your trouble could hurt your good record. Your wrong could cause others to be hesitant to depend on you. Can I tell you something? Accept that with dignity. Now, I don't think that if someone does wrong, that ought to be held against them for the rest of their lives. I don't think that they ought to be dogged about it forever. I don't think they ought to be labeled. I don't think they ought to be hurt or abused or in any way. But it is a part of human nature that when you let me down or I let you down, the trust element gets damaged. Now, if I've got any sense, if I hurt Rick and he didn't trust me, I could get mad at him. I could say, why don't you be a good Christian and trust me? But really, my right reaction is, I did it. I hurt your trust in me. And how he responds is up to him. But for me to be upset that I damaged my trust with him, that's unreasonable. Why would I have the right to be mad at him because I wounded his trust mechanism with me? So you know, you say, what should you do? I think I should humbly say, I'm sorry. I can accept the responsibility of regaining your trust. And let me say to everybody in here, let someone regain your trust. You say, oh, that's hard for me. Then whatever you do, don't join the ministry. Because you'll be burnt every week of your life. And then you'll have to turn around and retrust. It's a roller coaster. So realize you may have to rebuild people's trust in you. With a humble attitude, be willing to pay the price to regain trust. Next, sincerely be sorry for your wrong, not sorry you got caught. This is number 10. Sincerely be sorry for your wrong, not sorry you got caught. We all need to learn to hate wrong, and especially our own. You see, most people hate wrong. They just don't hate their own. Many times, if someone did to you what you did to them, you hate it. But you don't necessarily hate what you do. You hate what's done unto you. That's because we're so self-centered, so egotistical. It's all about us. But sincerely be sorry for your wrong, not sorry you got caught. Have remorse over your wrongdoing. Be sorry for causing the trouble, not for being caught. Matter of fact, I'll be honest with you. I think you ought to be glad that you got caught. Be glad that you got caught. You say, why? So you can learn from it, stop it, keep it from getting any worse, and get yourself right with God. One of the prayers that my wife and I prayed when we were raising our kids is that they would get caught. You talk about prayer time at family devotions. Oh God, I pray these kids would get caught. Everybody's on edge at prayer time. But why? Why would I want them to get caught? Because if we can catch it, we can fix it. You say, well, I'm not getting caught. Oh, I'm so sorry for you. I'm getting away with it. I'm so sorry for you. You're digging yourself a hole. You're better off getting caught. Getting caught's the best thing that could happen. You say, no, that can't be right. Yeah, getting caught's good for you. Because getting caught can help you to fix the problem. Let me go on. Number 11, don't repeat the same trouble again. Don't repeat the same trouble again. Repeating wrong and in an identical area is a terrible, terrible sign of weakness. It's a terrible sign that you didn't learn from your mistake. You know, I'll tell you something. If you repeat the same stupid thing, you're also going to cause people not to believe your apologies. You say, well, that's not right. I know, but I just happen to understand human nature. When you do it and then say, I'm sorry, and they accept it as sincere, and 2 weeks later, you do it again, you say, I'm sorry, they go, yeah, I heard that 2 weeks ago. Obviously not. And that's how human nature is. So don't repeat the same trouble. Number 12, say, I'm sorry. You know, a lot of people don't know how to apologize. You need to apologize if you did wrong. You need to say, I'm sorry. You say, when? Promptly. As soon after the infraction as you can, you should say, I'm sorry. And so you know, I think there's a great weakness in apologies today. People will apologize and then connect to it why they did what they did on the basis of the behavior of the person they hurt. Well, I wouldn't have done that had you not done this. Well, that's a pretty weak apology. It's obvious you're not taking as much personal responsibility as what you probably should. You say, but they had part. It's not your part to confess their part. It's your part to confess your part. So I really don't think that when we apologize, we ought to say, listen, I wouldn't have done this, but you did this and 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 this, and you're so bad. That's why I was acting bad. That's what you're saying. You're saying they're the cause of your misbehavior, so you've not truly accepted your responsibility. You want a good apology? Say you're wrong. Try this. I sinned. I was bad. I was wrong. It's my fault. Most human beings will not say those four things ever. Not even to God. So, but I'm just telling you. Say I'm sorry. Say it to those you hurt. Say it to God. Let me quickly get this over with. Number next. Pay for any damages if possible. If you did wrong and you broke something, if you did wrong and somebody suffered loss, you ought to pay for it. It's only right. Work out a payment plan if you need to. Do it with a good attitude. Most people today, they will damage something that belongs to someone else and they are expecting the graciousness of forgiveness with no responsibility. But they didn't care. Might not hurt you to pay for it anyway. Let your Christianity be bigger than their forgiveness. Let me go on. Number 14, get to a leader and ask them to help you to get out of trouble if you need help. Sometimes you say, I got myself in a jam and I'm not really sure what to do. Get to somebody that knows how to get you out of a jam. Get to somebody that can help. Ask for help. Seek advice. Let an older, wiser person coach you through resolving the problem or the trouble you've created. You say, well, I would have to admit to it. Well, humble yourself. Admit that you did wrong and that you'd like to fix it and you'd like to fix it the proper way. Number 15, separate from those that get into trouble. Separate from those that get into trouble, and for your sake, by the way, and for their sake. You know, this might have been your downfall originally. You may have gotten in trouble because of your crowd. If you all have been listening to the Sunday school lessons about the kings, every time you turn around, these kings are getting with the wrong crowd and they mess up the kingdom. Bad associations, they corrupt good morals. You get with the wrong crowd, it's going to cost you. But wait a minute, I say maybe your downfall was getting with the wrong crowd, but maybe it was their downfall of getting with you. Because not always the other guy. Maybe you're the problem. But I say just separate from those that get into trouble. I don't know how all the rest of the adults in this room were reared, but my parents used those terms a lot. Troublemaker. I heard that a lot. That kid's a troublemaker. I said, they're troublemakers. I heard that a lot. And my mom was always saying, stay away from the troublemakers. Stay away from the troublemakers. So I would say to you, be kind, but be separate. Because when you're wanting to get out of trouble, you won't stay out of trouble if you spend time with other people who are getting into trouble. You say, but I'll be with them and not get involved. Well, good luck, buddy. Never worked that way for me. And you look in the Bible, every time a good person got to running with a bad person, we didn't make the bad person better, we made the good person worse. A couple points and I'm done, and they'll be quick. I recommend that you keep your walk with God strong so you strengthen yourself, so you can keep yourself out of trouble. Be faithful to church. Read your Bible every day. Pray every day. Walk in the Spirit. You say, well, you think that's the answer to everything? Yes. Yes, I think the Word of God is the answer. I think living God's way is the answer. I most certainly do. If you will live according to the Bible, you'll stay out of most trouble. You will. You'll stay out of the big troubles of life. The last thing that I'll say, and I'll be done, learn from your mistake and truly become better because of it. Do you know that if you make a mistake, if you do wrong, if you get into trouble, but you learn from it and you never make that mistake again, there's some value in that. There's some value in it. So what am I saying? Turn your negative into a positive. Turn your weakness into a strength. Let your bad teach you the great importance of doing good. If you'll learn from your mistake, that makes it valuable. Makes it very valuable. I'll be very honest. I watch a lot of people. It's my business. When I watch people do stupid things, my hope is that they become better because of the wrong act. Some become worse, but you can become better because of it. So you say, I really goofed up and I kind of created a mess for myself. You know something? If you created a mess for yourself, if you'll learn from it and you'll never turn back and you're stronger because of it, I think something good can come out of it. And let's face it, we can't change the past now. Best thing to do is do something about its future. And for most people, you won't have to hear this, but let me say it before I close. After you've help to get yourself out of trouble and you practice these 15 or 16, just little simple suggestions, you'll have to learn how to forgive yourself. Some people are extremely conscientious and they have a difficult time forgiving themselves when they do wrong. I will simply say this about self-forgiveness. And I see most of you don't have any problem forgiving yourself. You're very quick at it. But let me say, there are some people that they hurt very deeply when they let people down, when they let God down, and they bear that burden. It almost paralyzes them in life because they feel so bad about their wrong. Well, let me say this to you. What right do you have to not forgive yourself? If a holy God can forgive you, you're not better than God. And so God would want you to forgive yourself. You say, well, why? God only has human beings to use. And if you're suppressed by the sin of your past, you're not as productive in the present. And God needs you on topside so he can use you. God forgives you so he can use you. God needs you to forgive you so God can use you. Because God could have forgiven you, but if you won't forgive yourself, you won't dig in, you won't get involved, you don't have any confidence, you feel bad about yourself, so you don't get involved, and you never do anything for God because you feel like you can't when you could. And remember, if a holy God can forgive you, who do you think you are not forgiving you? you're not better than God. So, how to get out of trouble? The Bible says, the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. We all get in. There are guidelines on getting out right. So if we get into trouble, let's get out of it the right way, and we'll learn from it.